can do it right there at your seat. I just want you to be careful with that race car you have there, too. So, why don't you give something here for the offering, for receiving of the tithes and offering.
Offering time, blessing time. Let's give the Lord a hand. I appreciate this, and I express my desire to serve Him and to love Him, and we thank God for Him. Amen. Lord, I bless the offering in the name of the Lord Jesus. And let the glory of the Lord rest upon us. Let the peace of God fill our hearts with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen and amen. God bless the ushers as they receive from you here today. This is sanctified offering, okay? I want you to know that. It's a sanctified, because it comes from sanctified people. And that is very important for us here today. And before I go into my our message, my wife is going to help me preach this morning. We're going to be sharing together. I want you to turn to Habakkuk chapter 1. As we have been radically seeing things turned around in America with regards to government, it is a crying shame to see how they're acting, our so-called governmental leaders. And with Judge Kavanaugh, okay, we have never in our history seen someone put on the spot concerning their past life. And really, they don't know for sure. You know, there's still a lot of cleaning stuff. I mean, he's almost squeaky clean. You know what the Lord showed me this morning? Judgment first begins at the house of God. And what is happening, my dear brothers and sisters, there is going to be a new authority of holiness and righteousness arising in the church. And let me go there with you in Habakkuk. The Lord gave me this, chapter 1. This Habakkuk was a man, he was a prophet that had dialogue between God and himself. And Habakkuk here in small, one of the smallest chapter prophets, is a minor prophet. He is arguing with God over his ways that appear to be unfathomable and even unjust. And here he's wrestling with God. And he is representing the voice of godliness in Judah, struggling to comprehend the way God works and moves and how he deals. And so here in the book of Habakkuk, you see Habakkuk, he was very perplexed against the wickedness and the strife and the oppression that was running rampant in Judah. And God seemingly didn't do anything about it, really. And how, God, can you, who is so pure, look on the evil things that are going on, and even appoint a nation, Babylonian, to execute judgment on the people of God that were more righteous than themselves? And so we discover something here in Habakkuk that is very interesting, as I've been praying much about this, and hope you all have been too. And we need to have a whole time of prayer and fasting, really. So Habakkuk learns here then to trust in God. And so look here, if I can. Verses 1 through 5. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence. Thou wilt not save. Why dost thou shew me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and they are that rise up strife and contention. Therefore the law, and here is the key verse, my dear brothers and sisters, look at this here. For the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth. For the wicked does compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Exactly what we see today. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. And God says, Habakkuk, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, even though it be told you. Now, it's very interesting, over in 2 and 3 and 4, Habakkuk speaks, and this is the prophetic word for America right now. Look at verses 2, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tire, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tire. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But, everybody say, but. The just, that you and I, amen, shall what? Live by faith. And 3 and 18 and 19, look at this. As Habakkuk was just in this, and we this past week, we didn't want to watch the news. I don't know about you. It was just devastating just to see what is taking place in America. And there's no governance being able to go forth, godly governance. But you look here. In Habakkuk 3:18 and 19. In the midst of that, Habakkuk made a statement. Let's read it all together. Verses, chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Let's read it together. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. And he will make me to walk upon my high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Folks, we need to get back to be true worshipers of our Creator God. I see it clearly. This is a powerful book, and I encourage you to read the whole thing and get a picture of now exactly where we're at. So we pray. We agree. That righteousness shall be exalted in America. First, Lord, we pray that righteousness shall be exalted in the church. In each one of us here that are in this place this morning in Jesus' name. And we're believing you that in the next weeks and month that we're going to see you be lifted up and exalted in the land. Because you're the only one that is worth exalting in this day, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. Amen. So I encourage you to speak that throughout where you're at. I just couldn't believe it as I was praying much, and God gave me this. It's so, so vital. As we are approaching our missionary convention, and I am literally blessed by God to be able to, well, I just need someone to carry this down for me. Anybody wants to come up here and carry this down for me, I appreciate it very much. Yeah, the table with that on. As we have been asking God for supernatural direction and change, we're at some of the biggest changes in the world and in our missions program. I just want to inform you as I start sharing here, someone needs to open up the door for Dad as he's going out. Okay? Okay, no one's there. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, we got to watch that. Thank you, ushers, for being sensitive to that. In Jesus' name. The title of my message here today is Our Missionary Journey. And just want Rosemary to come up here shortly. If you come up and just sit on the front seat, Rosemary, I'd appreciate it here right now. It's so very important. The scripture that came to me, so the title of my message is Our Missionary Journey. And the scripture that came to me this morning, which was very, very important for us to understand. Remove not the ancient landmarks. Proverbs 22:28, you can write that down. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. As I shared with you last week, we have to reset the gospel. And what do we mean by that? We have to go back to make sure everything we're doing is centered around the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And seeing ourselves in that is very, very important. And so we believe that we need to get passion back for our first love for Jesus. Amen. And we believe that that is the way we're going to see things turn around. It's not cry so much over the evils of America, except first cry over the evils of the church. You and I. Because I feel what God is doing, He is raising up a new people that will be the people of God. And that will be exactly what He has ordained it to be, His church. We've been sharing with you on the importance of understanding your place in the body of Christ. That we are the body of Christ collectively, together. How many can say amen to that? I don't know about you. I love this revelation God's giving me that I cannot do it without you, or you cannot do it without me. He's putting value on who He is in each one of us. Amen. That's the beauty of it. When we honor, there's a culture, Brother Phil Capuccio, and it's on, I tell you what, there's a lot of good messages online if you go to the website. There's a lot of good messages there. And I'm listening to Brother Phil Capuccio's message on the culture of honor. And I tell you what, he did a masterpiece for us, and that we need to restore that. And we need to make sure that we honor God in everyone. And so, the Proverbs, Proverbs 22:28. And here's the other scripture. I want you to turn with me to John 15, verse 16. John 15 and verse 16. I've been telling you that John 17, I pray that you keep on reading that and understanding what is taking place. John 17, I encourage you to read it every week. John 17 is the purest picture of the church of Jesus Christ and what we should be. John 17, along with Romans 12, along with 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, and Ephesians 4. That's where I'm stuck in. So if you want to follow along and understand, I encourage you to go there. So especially 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is preparing the disciples for him going away. And so he is clearly helping them to understand who they are. And so here in John 15, Jesus is instructing them, this is my life verse, okay? As a young boy, the Lord gave me this scripture, and this is my life verse. Ye have not, Jesus is saying here, get this, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. That's pretty powerful. Amen? And so there is an understanding of the calling of God upon our lives. But this has been mine. As a little boy, as a young boy, I have always had this before me. Now, and then along with, turn with me to Psalms 2. And here, Psalms 2, we discover a beautiful psalm here. That verse 2 and 8 is my other scripture. It's my life scripture. To understand better where things are at. But I want to read Psalms 2, starting with verse 1. It ties a lot better together if you follow along. Psalms 2, verses 1 through 8. Again, why do the heathen comprise and the people plot vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. I will proclaim the Lord's decree, he said to me. You are my son. Today, I have become your father. Now, there's a principle here that we are the children of God. Amen? I wonder what would really happen if you really believed that. That your dad is God Almighty. He's a spiritual father. How many can say amen? He's our father. Disciples asked, as they saw all the amazing things that was happening with Jesus, and did we teach us how to pray? What did Jesus tell them? To pray, the first thing. Our what? Father. Oh, really? I wonder what would happen if we would pray that every day. Our Father, my Father. Let me submit something to you that where I am going as I'm reflecting over so many things to see us affect our neighbors around here better, you know. That I believe it's high time that we begin to believe the Word of God. That we be believers in the Word of God. Amen. Our Father. Then this is my scripture. So now, ask of me, because I'm your Father. You have constant relationship. And what the Lord showed me this week, that I am in heart-to-heart relationship because of Jesus with the Creator of the universe. Heart to heart. I I'm in his heart, he's within my heart. I have a new revelation on my relationship with my Father God. Heart to heart. You know, I've been praying that lately for the last year. Lord, I want to live out of your heart. And he is showing me things I have never seen before. Though I've been preaching for 50 years. Heart to heart with God. I give you that revelation. Let the Holy Spirit work on it. I am in heart to heart relationship with God through what Jesus did. No man can come to the Father except through me. Okay? So our relationship is with Father God through Jesus. You have seen me. You have seen him. Oh, I don't know about you. I'm falling in love with the Nazarene. He's falling in love with me. There's a lot of good songs out there about that very thing. And so, Rosemary, can you come up here, please? And so we're talking about the light. And this is what I believe. That if we have been lighting up the four corners of the world in every major place in the world, we have people, missionaries. Now, this is another revelation the Lord gave me for our convention. If we are lighting up the other parts of the world, we should be brighter here at home. Get that picture. We should really, if we're lighting the world with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, we should be shining bright right here. I love that thought. It's changing me to be more brighter. You know, we are the children of the light. I mean, you're going to hear that throughout the convention here. And we are going to be blessed. Make your plans to be here at every service, because there's some supernatural things going to begin happening. So, Rosemary, we're on a journey this morning here to endeavor to help these people understand our life and why we're so passionate for the gospel. I just want you to understand that I was born in 1948. My wife was born when?
1947. 11 months older, that's all. He makes it sound like 11 years, but it's 11.
We cancel that out, Jesus. And so, here we go. So anyway, I remember in my growing up days that one thing, Mom and Dad always took us to church. Always took us to church. Mom and Dad always had Bible study, our family altar with us children, instilling to us the ways of God. And I can recall that probably when I was, I know my mother led me to the Lord when I was probably about 6 years old. I thought I had a heartache, a bellyache, but it was a heartache. And she discerned that I needed Jesus. And she led me to Jesus at 6 years old. And I just thank God for that. And I remember, Mama took the pictures. She would take pictures of those. These are old pictures. And I had all the siblings, Irene and everyone around. And I was playing church. And I was the preacher. Just when I was probably 7, 8 years old. I don't know if you remember that, Irene. I got everyone out in the yard. We were out in the yard, and I was there just, preaching to them, and it's amazing. And the thing that I remember, Dad, about growing up, we lived on the farm, and 1 year before we moved up to Harrisburg here to start a mission work up there, we went every other week to the Bronx in New York City, and we beat the people to church. And we were working in a mission. And we were just talking together here with Brother Capuccio, you know. Probably dad sold seeds to get him saved. Hallelujah. New York. That's where you're out of, too. New York there and all that crazy stuff. But, it, you know, dad always took me to church. And then I was getting ornery, and my punishment would be always to go with him to church. Seriously. And daddy would take me places, you know, and to church. But I thank God for that. Do you want to share a little bit of your upbringing, Rosemary, with your family?
Okay. I was born and raised in Greeley, Colorado. And from the as far back as I can remember, we were always in church. I remember the Four Square Church is where I was nurtured and raised in, and Amy Semple McPherson. And so we were part of a beautiful family church there in Greeley, and we're there all the time. Dad had us every time the doors were open, we were there. And I remember being at 13, working with the youth ministry and also with music. We had wonderful pastors that were very into music, so they used all of us as we were available. And so, but worked with the youth at 13 and was president of the Crusaders Youth Ministry. Anyway, it was a wonderful experience. And then with the Four Square Church, they would move their pastors around. And so the pastors that we had had for so long were moved back to California. So we didn't have a pastor for a long time, but we continued there. My mother kept us there. Dad kept us there. I remember that one time there was it was a little church that the pastors lived upstairs in the Sunday school rooms. And so one of the services of somebody came running in and said that the place was on fire, and so the pastor told everyone to evacuate, you know. So my dad said, sit here and I go check it out. So we sat there. There was probably five or six of us kids and mom, and we sat there, and dad went out and checked it out, sure enough, so he took us out. We were very obedient children. Anyway.
Well, he was a military man.
Yes. Dad was a military person. So when those pastors went on to California, we didn't have a pastor for a while. So my mom found a church across town, a little Holy Roller Church, which was more Pentecostal than the little church that we were a part of. And that was a family church also, the pastor's family, and were there for many years. And so I was from 13 on up until I went to Bible college. We were in that church, and I taught Sunday school class, led the youth ministry, led the youth choir, and played worship music with a worship band. So anyway, from there, I went to Bible college in San Antonio, and I remember my first week there at the family church, Brother John and Ruth Bell, who were the founding pastor was Leonard Coote, who was a missionary to Japan.
That would have been in 1965.
65, I went to Bible college. So anyway, I remember my first, when I walked in that door and heard the worship music going on, I just wept. It was so anointed and so such a beautiful experience of a lot of young people together there for the Bible college and then the church family. And so that was our home church, my home church for 5 years while I was there. I went to college 3 years, and then Pastor Mel and I met, and we got married in my third year.
We got married in 1968.
Yeah. So, but we were part of that church and very active in the Bible college and with worship and music. I traveled with the college quartet for 2 years, and so that was a wonderful experience.
You played.
I played.
You played.
Yeah.
And then in that time, too, Rosemary, if I could just interject, Daddy always taught us to be involved everywhere we go in helping, in just being available. Whatever your hand finds to do, you do it how it is unto the Lord. And so at the Bible College, churches were wanting youth to come on out and to minister, sing, and preach. And we have some interesting stories. Before we were married, we would go out. She'd play the piano, and I would preach. That's before we were married. And so that's very interesting. We have some interesting. We need to write a book. We really do of our journey ministering and out in the little churches around San Antonio, Texas. There and that's just amazing.
One time we went to a church and we had other young people traveled with us after we were married, and so we went to this church and we had a great time. And so they said, "Oh, we're having dinner on the ground, so y'all stay with us and have dinner on the ground." So we stayed and had a great time. And then it's the lady pastor, and then she got a phone call. We were at her house for the meal, and so she got a phone call, and it was her sister who was in another part of town. And she had a church. Now, these two sisters were rivalry churches. One was real traditional, and the other one was really Pentecostal. So we ended up at the traditional church, and we did our, taught and sang, and he preached. And anyway, so this lady said, "Well, we were supposed to have some people come from a Bible college." She says, "Oh, really? Well, we had some people that just showed up at our church, and they were from a Bible college, and here it was the wrong place." So we went to their church that night, and so we had a great time. But I thought it was interesting how God directed us there, and the two sisters began to communicate, so that was interesting. And another time we went with some kids, and was that the church that was in? I don't know. Anyway, we went to different churches and stuff, and the church wasn't open, but we managed to get in, and we were there when the people came. Had church for them and helped them out too. So that was interesting to be a part of that. And also in Bible College, you were part of the missions ministry, which was the Bible College was a missions church ministry. It was a mission oriented Bible college. The founder was Leonard Coote, who was a missionary, one of the first missionaries to Japan. And his theme was Japan and Pentecost till Jesus comes. And I remember when he would come back, he would just thrust the missions. It was so powerful, you know. And when he passed away, by the way, the group that I played for, Ben Gill's Uncle Van was in that singing group. And so when the Brother Coote passed away, we were invited to play for his funeral and sing. They sang for his funeral. One of the theme songs was, "For I am persuaded that neither life nor death nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor heights nor depths nor any creature shall separate me from the love of God." And that was our theme song basically with the quartet, and they wanted that song. But Brother Coop, before he passed away, he'd been ill and he'd been in the bed, and before he passed away, he sat up and he said, "Onward, forward." And that's how he left. That's how he stepped into heaven, was the thrust of onward and forward. And I remember just now thinking about that when we went, we were flying this past May to Milwaukee, Minnesota. For my niece's graduation from the university there. And so we stopped off at the house there with Irene and Dad and Grant, and before we left, to say, tell Mom we were where we were going.
Mother passed away.
And the day that she passed away. And we weren't sure when, but we knew that we needed to be at that graduation for our niece, for support for her, for the challenges she'd faced. And so we went in there, and my mother-in-law said to Mel and to us, "Just do it. Just do it." And that's what we left on. And that's what we're doing. We're just doing it. We're going forward and onward and just doing what he's called us to do.
Very interesting. Brother Ben's grandpa. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you, Brother Ben, for your grandpa, Fred Gill. He was my dorm dean He was poured a lot of good wisdom in me. And the most thing I'm thankful for your grandpa, he taught me how to pray. Mm-hmm. He would get up early in the morning, and he'd invite the young men to join him. Hardly any of them did, but I was always there with him. And that is why I'm passionate for prayer.
And he prays every morning still. He'll get 4:30 in the morning, and he'll pray. Come over here and pray. Go to prayer meetings, other places too. So anyways, so that was what God had did for us in San Antonio, and being a blessing, I went the 2 extra years so he could get his degree. And yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for journeying with me, honey. I appreciate that.
Putting hubby, got my PhD, putting hubby through.
IBC. IBC.
International Bible
International
College.
Bible College. It became then for us International Bridal College. And then it became International Baby Clinic. Because we had our first son down there, Matt. And he was born up here, but we had him down there. We got a lot of stories. But then we graduated there and came out of there, and we were home here for a year, the 1970 to 1972. And then there came a church opened down in Spindle, North Carolina, that Dad down in Florida met this pastor, Brother Parton, Glenn Parton, and Spindle, North Carolina. And Dad told him, "I'm smelling my feet." He needs to do something. He needs to go, you know, do something. So, very interesting here at, I believe it was when we were 24 years old, we journeyed down to to Spindle, North Carolina, from Harrisburg here, to pastor our first church, Faith Temple. And that Faith Temple, it had 500 seats. And when we took it over, they were only meeting, 12 people meeting in the choir loft. And so we got into that, there was a parsonage there, and we lived there with Matt, and then Marcy was born. And then Michael was the last one. Yeah, so we journeyed down there. And so that is amazing. As I reflect over our first pastorate there, oh my, Rosemary had to put up with a lot, I tell you what. Get this, when Marcy, who was born, Matt, was, you were inspecting Matt. So we had convention. We always, what was that? You tell the story.
We moved down there with Matt, who turned 3. We moved in there in May. Marcy was born May 30th of 72. And so Matt was going to be 3 in the middle of July, I guess it was. And then Michael was born down there. But we used to have conventions, and different churches would come to our conventions and the community also, and from other cities. But anyway, we had this big convention, and Ralph and Ollie Baker, who were with us at that time, they came from here, Grace Chapel, and helped us for a couple of years. And had this big convention, and they lived next door. Anyway, I was pregnant with Mike, and I started having labor contractions and stuff, you know, in the morning, and I played the organ all day and helped serve a meal and then play the organ in the evening. And finally, I said to my husband, after the service was over and they were going to go down, I said, "I think I better go to the hospital." So we did, and we went down there. But we had to find a car to get in because the parking lot was filled up and we couldn't get our car out. So one of the neighbors let us use their car to get to the hospital. And Mike was born down there. Interestingly, he's a Tar Heel baby, and guess where he's at? He's still in North Carolina working for the hospital there in Charlotte.
And so we were involved with bringing the body together there. We always fellowshipped across the denominational lines. We were working with a Episcopalian pastor who was really open to the
spirit-filled,
but high class and high society.
Actually, Pastor Mill, he started a Christian school, and we put Matt in there, and it was a great school. But he was a spirit. He and his wife were spirit filled, and when they were left that area, they came up to Washington D.C. and he was the pastor for. Oh, who was the vice president with Clinton? Well, that guy. Anyway, and he ended up here in what was it? Yes, Gore, Mr. Gore. And he ended up here in Lancaster. He and his wife ended up here in Lancaster, and they passed away. But they were great friends to Spirit-filled, and they just did their best in the community. Also some other Spirit-filled denominational pastors. And it was exciting to see what God was doing. That church, even though it had 500 seats when we got there, and there's 12, before that, the pastor had William Branham there, and he had Gordon Lindsay there at that church. One of the ladies was healed in one of those services, and it was amazing testimonies that went on. So that had taken place in that church. So we were blessed to have a part of that.
And by the time we were asked to come back after 4 years, we had 70 people there on a consistent basis, which we built the church up to. So we give God the praise for that. And then in 1976, we came back here and...
Can I interject something before that? In my growing up years, my dad was and mom were very into missions and stuff. And my dad would sacrifice things to give to missions. And he had a little business before he built his big business. He had this painting trucks and repairing mobile homes and stuff and taking them across and selling them and stuff like that. But he always gave to missions in our little four-square church, and we saw films about missions. One that really affected me the most was a missionary to Bolivia, and I was so challenged by that. My dad gave money for shoes for the orphans in Bolivia, and I remember Eloise saying, I need shoes. And then every missionary came through, he put tires on their vehicles or he painted their vehicles. And then he began to, and he took us to Catherine Kuhlman's meetings. So that was an influence in us. And the Foursquare had tremendous missionaries in California that they sent all over the world. And so that was an influence in our lives. And then Morris Sorello. He went with Morris Sorello somewhere. I don't remember. He was from San Diego, so Dad went to there. And he met this Catholic priest that was saved and spirit-filled from down in South America somewhere, and he committed to send him a van, or not a van, it was like a van. I don't know what they call them back then. But anyway, he got one and rebuilt it and painted it and delivered it down there, and this priest sent him back with a painting that he had done from Italy. And so that painting hung in our home for years and years and years until my dad passed away. But that's where what our life was consisted of, giving to foreign missions and local missions. And so and the influences of the different ministries that we had in our lives as kids.
And so what we were doing down in Spindle, North Carolina, is building the church, building the body of Christ. As I remember one time, I think this is very important, we went down to a convention in Atlanta, Georgia. And this was a time that God was really dealing with our hearts and getting along with one another. And, you know, when you take a good old Dutchman and a city, what you call it, someone born in Colorado,
town.
In town.
Even though it was on the Front Range, we were in town.
She was born in town. That was a challenge for her to marry me, and it's cultured. How many of you know it's cultured? It's cultured. And she's Spanish also, Ortega, that's where she comes from. But I just loved everything about her when I put my eyes on her, because I knew that that's what God had for us. But we went down to this convention one time, and a prophet of the Lord, you were ready to take one of the children out. And what did he tell you?
We were traveling to that convention in Atlanta, and we had already been here in Harrisburg. We'd go down there to the conventions because that was part of our background, and our friends were still there. So we were here, and there was someone in the church that just didn't. There's something about that person, and it just wasn't right. I just discerned that, and so we were traveling down there, and I was telling him, I said, you know, this person is—it's not right, and what he was trying to use some of the brothers in the church and take them across financially, and I said, it's not right, and he said, you're just so suspicious, and the kids were sleeping in the station wagon. He said, you're just so suspicious, and you need to stop doing that. And I said, and it just crushed my spirit. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'll never say anything to him again. Never, ever. I was so hurt. So I went to that convention, and we had Marcus was just a baby then. And so they'd moved the convention from the big church in Atlanta to a smaller church, so some of the other churches could get, you know, their feet wet with ministry. And so I was taking him out. There was air conditioning. It was so hot, and it was in July. And so the brother up front, he and the Stutzmans from the Philippine Islands missionaries were up there, and the brother said, sister, before you go out there with the child, please give him to somebody else and you come up here. And I looked around, and he said, you. And so somebody came and got Marcus, and I walked up, and he began to talk to me. He talked to me first. And he said, there are things in my life that God was using and showing me. And he said, even your husband has said you are so suspicious. Nobody heard that in the car because kids are down asleep and there was nobody else in the car with us. And that's exactly what he had said to me. And I started crying. And he began to tell me the giftings that God had placed in my life that needed to be unwrapped. And then he began to minister to Pastor Mel and said the same thing to him.
So I'm learning to listen to you. Very interesting. Another gentleman just told me that this past week. And we were sitting because we believe that it's high time that we speak the word of the Lord over one another. How many can say amen? If we speak God's word over one another, it's amazing. I spoke the word over him. He spoke the word over me and Rosemary. And then he said, Rosemary, Sister Rosemary, you need to speak more into Mel's life, Pastor Mel's life, and you need to listen more. Amen. We need to listen more to one another. I'm going to say amen to that. But it's very interesting. In 1986, we were placed in here as a senior pastor after 2 years of Dad engineering that, and Dad with the elders and that, they decided that we become senior pastors. And so that's here to the present. And now we are saying, God, what do you have for us as a body now? How many can say amen? And we're all here, saying yes. And we want to see a new generation of world changers being built up in Jesus' name. And we need to honor one another. We need to encourage one another. And watch what the Holy Spirit of God is going to be doing there. So we have a passion, Rosemary, for this.
We have a powerful passion. And it's not easy. Speaking for myself, it's not easy when the Lord shows me things and I don't say things because I don't want to rock anybody's boat sometimes, and I need to be more obedient to that. But y'all, most of y'all have, Sister Ann Capella has been with us and loved us and our kids, you know, and known Nancy for a long time and seen the challenges she's gone through and come and gone and comes back, and we love her and know that God's working in life, and Kimmy and Flo and Mary and her family, Scott Perry, and just a lot that have been with us for a long
time. Larry and Jean.
Brother and Sister Whitmer.
Amazing.
And see how God has brought us together. And it's great, Grant and Irene, and Lori was just a little girl when we first met her parents, and God's brought her back, and Pastor Capuccio's dad, Brother Angelo, we just love him, and God's bringing people in. We've been through challenges, and we could tell you stories, and some of you know our story, but God has been faithful, and we're still here. I'll never forget, Pastor Mel, when the placing in of when they placed us in as senior pastors, Brother Bob from Elam, from Elam Bible Institute was here and preached the message, and he said, and one of the things he said, plod on, plod on, plod on, plod on, plod on, plod on. And so we continue. It's not been an easy journey, but God has been faithful, and we have done what he's called us to do. None of y'all told us that we were pastors. God told us that we were to be here. He placed us in. And he who has begun a good work is faithful to complete it to the very end. So he who has placed us here until he says it's time to go, we're here. And he is faithful, and he will see us through, all of us, because this is his house. And this house was built with the intent of serving the world, not just you and I as individuals, all, even though we are included, this community and our area, the nation, and the world. You would be surprised the people that are have come out of this house and gone around the world, and are still, a lot of them still serving, you know. One of my Bible college friends, Amos Dodge, came here with his new bride, and they were moving to Washington, D.C. area, and they said, Pastor Mel, we'd like to start a church in Washington or in that near that area. Could you invest in what God wants to do with this? I don't even remember how much, $60 a month.
$75
a month for 6 months. We did that as a church. And you know what? They've been there for
40 years.
40 years now. And they have been an influence in Washington, D.C. Every Easter sunrise service, they have been there at the monument having sunrise service. And this past Easter, they were honored by the officials and saying, we'd like for you to be with us another 40 years. And it had grown for just a handful. And this time there was like 20,000 people there for the sunrise service. So God has used Grace Chapel in ministering and reaching out around the world. It's not just this. The weavers have been faithful. I wasn't a weaver, but God placed me in it. Have been faithful to the call of God on their lives. And family church, you bet. It's a family church, and we're all part of the family. We've been privileged to work with a family church down in Roanoke with Brother and Sister Crandall and their ministry and their family, with Brother Durstein and his family in Sarasota, Florida. And God has called us as a family, all of us. And you've been included in our families. And I'm thankful for that. God has done that because it's he who has called. Amen? Amen. He's faithful. Amen.
Amen. And so I just want you to know that we are excited about spreading the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ here in our local community. We're going to do it more, and it's picking up in regards to the food pantry and what Brother and Sister Shirk are doing with us, and we thank God for it. We're going to see more done. Our desire is for the glory of God to be manifest. This is what our pastor is saying. Lord, pour down your glory upon us in Jesus' name. So, sure. As you're getting that, Rosemary, the thing that my passion is that a brother put it this way: we must make world missions the flashpoint for thousands to be awakening with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And what is the flashpoint? And we're going to see this happen at our convention. In chemistry, the flashpoint, listen to this, is the temperature at which a particular organic compound gives off sufficient vapor to ignite in the air. So we're going to go forth and be the flashpoint for the glory of God everywhere we go in Jesus' name.
Amen. David Livingston, who was the first missionary to Africa, said, "I will go anywhere provided it's forward." And then also Hudson Taylor, another missionary, worked with children. "Depend on it. God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. He's too wise a God to frustrate his purposes for lack of funds, and he can just as easily supply them ahead of time as afterwards, and he much prefers doing so. We have never let up on missions at Grace Chapel. Even though we've been a small congregation, God has been faithful to see that through." And John Wesley said, "Untold millions are still untold." So Ghost and William Booth said, "Go straight for souls and go for the worst." Around us, across the sea, across the street. We're here. We are the light of the world. You have it, we have it, and we can't stop now. I'm making this into a mission thing, but that's my passion, this church and this community and missions, foreign missions. It's our community. I mean, it's my passion to see souls into the kingdom. You know, with everything that goes on, it's not just Grace Chapel. You know, we've all gone through transition. Churches all over this area have gone through transition. All over the country has gone through transition. Things that we've gone through, my children have been affected by it. It was painful. It's hard, but they've learned to be strong, and they're being used and serving in other areas where God's called them to. And they won't look back because they know the God in whom they serve. I won't look back. I won't turn back because I know in whom I have believed, and he's faithful to complete it to the day of his coming. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, Brother Scott?
Amen.
He's faithful. He's called us. He's called you, Brother Scott, Terry. He's called us. Lord, he's called you. He's using you. He's using you for God's kingdom's sake. Mary, he's using you and your family. You're speaking the word of the Lord to your family. That was the prayer of your mom. He's using you, Mary. He is. Brother Chicks, God's been using you with your family. He's been faithful to use you, studying to be a Catholic priest and turned away from that and found God at a rock concert and came here, and God's using him. He's continuing to use him. God is faithful. It's good to see the Murphys here, and brother and sister John and Emma. God's using you in the areas in your families. God is faithful. Gordon came to us, played his guitar. He's faithful. Brother Scott Winslow, God's using him. He's using you, Christine. God's going to use your husband. You know, many years ago, we had this young man that showed up at Grace Chapel, and he played in rock bands. Brother Bob Fitzwater, and somebody on our team back then who needed to be encouraged and didn't use wisdom, said he couldn't play with our worship music because he was had come out of a rock band and played rock and roll. And you know what? That young man stayed faithful, and God used him on the platform, and he began to be one of our best worship leaders and guitarist. And Scott's going to do that. God's going to do that with Brother Scott. I was at Scott's and Christine's house. He had a sound room. He had guitars and stuff all over the wall. He has been used, but he was into rock, right? And his passion in his heart is to be used of God. And he's coming. He's coming along. God's going to use him, just as he has all of us. Just like you, Brother Capuccio. You played in the big bands in New York, you know, your trumpet and everything. And look at you. God's used you. Amen. He has need for all of us. We all have giftings and talents that he wants to use to touch the lives of the generation that's coming behind us, that they can go forward on with the gospel. Amen? Amen. Are we done? Are you done? Yes.
I'll go right there. When I was my first job, I mean, this is my last job that I had. I was digging out in the trench there to bring the wires into this building. It's back in 1977, and I said, "Oh God, you know, why do you have me in this ditch digging?" He just said, "Be faithful where you're at."
Yep.
And we all are there. How many can say amen? We all have areas in our lives that,
yes,
you know, what, God, where are you at? But that was the last job I had, building this building, and working for Abram Hearst. So, Ben and Bill, you tell me anything about this building, I'll let you know. So you ask any questions, and that's a very interesting.
Alvina Miller was a pastor from Shippensburg Church, Oasis. Anyway, from Shippensburg. And I was talking to her one time. One time they showed up at our door, front door, just before we were ready to come over here for a missionary convention. And she said, she and her associate came up and said, Pastor Mel, God told us we needed to bring you some new suits. And they brought two brand new suits that fit him perfectly. And I don't know. But anyway, I said to her, I was talking to her one time, I said, Sister Miller, how do you do, you know, I was discouraged. How do you do when people don't like you and you feel like you want to give up? She said, Sister Rosemary, you do what God's called you to do. Be faithful to what He's called you to do. And she was faithful. Her husband passed away. She was faithful in that little town. She said, when he passed away, she would go to church and there would be nobody there. And she'd get up and get dressed like there was, you know, and he told her, preach like there's 10,000 people. She did that for several months. And God opened up the door to Shippensburg University, and Jerusha's dad came to her church. That was one of the first churches that he came to in Shippensburg area. He told me that, and that was a testimony of God's faithfulness.
Amen.
Just do what God's called you to do, and that's what we're doing.
So why don't you pray for us and help us to stay focused?
Father God, I thank you that we are here today, and Lord, I'm not sure exactly what I was supposed to be doing or saying, but Lord, I feel like what I shared is what you put on my heart. And so today, Lord, I ask that you continue to burn in our hearts and our lives to touch hurting and broken people, mending broken lives, broken marriages, people who are struggling financially, struggling spiritually, struggling with family, distance from family members. Everything that we have gone through and some that are still going through, Father, you said Jesus went through those same things, those same challenges, and you loved him through it and you used him to become the Savior of the world. And so, God, we are trusting you that you are going to do what you've called us to do as a church in this community and in this nation that is touching the lives, Lord God, that has touched lives around the earth, Lord God, in Africa, Brazil, South America, Mexico, even in the European countries, Lord God. We just thank you, knowing people in Italy, Lord, in the Muslim countries that are there, Lord, because of the opportunity that we've had to share and reach out. God, we ask that you continue to do that. Lord, you're helping us to get this earthly house in order, but God, touch our spiritual houses that we will be in order, Lord God, that we can serve you to touch the lives of people that need you, Lord God. I ask you, Father God, that you would just challenge us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let us become true worshipers, that we can go to the nations and go to our neighbors and go across the street and go across this nation, Lord God, to make a difference and be changing this world for your kingdom's sake. And God, today I even pray for what's happening in our nation, Lord God. I pray for this precious family that has been attacked. And God, nothing catches you by surprise. Nothing catches you off guard. And you're going to make us all stronger for that, Lord God. And you're going to cause this precious family that is being judged to be stronger and going to be used for your kingdom's sake, Lord, to make a difference. I ask you to be with our president to make him strong and help him to have your wisdom, Lord God, in everything he does and everything he says. Lord, even though some of the things of the past have followed him, as it has all of us, Lord God. You have still loved us and forgiven us and using us, Lord God. Father, when you touch the hearts of people, when Jesus was walking on this earth and he touched the hearts of Mary Magdalene, the family, Lazarus' family, when he wept over Lazarus' passing, and yet, Lord God, you raised him up and you continued to work, Lord. Then you went to the leper, the man that had leprosy, and the people, the religious people, Lord, would say, why are you going over there? He's unclean, he's unclean. And God, you sent Jesus to touch him anyhow. You asked him, who are you? And he said, unclean. He said, who are you? And the man only identified himself by what others had said. He was unclean. And yet you touched him and made him whole and made him clean and used him to touch the people in his community because of your faithfulness, your healing, and you saved multitudes of people because of your son Jesus touching him. So some of us have been unclean, but God, you are forgiving, and you've changed us, and you've called us to touch people, other people who are hurting that need ministry. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your faithfulness. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus. We worship you, Lord, most holy, holy Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Can I say amen? Amen. God bless you. Love you, honey. Appreciate you for sticking with me these 50 years.